the rest of the story. The storm clouds of the American Revolution were gathering. Britain was tightening the noose of taxation and was choking trade and limiting colonial authority, and the Patriots converged on Philadelphia. Many familiar names, and one more, Stephen Hopkins. It was as though Stephen's whole life had been a deliberate preparation for the impending task. He was self-educated. He had learned self-reliance. He was a merchant. He had experience in commerce and economics. A superior court chief justice, he knew the law, possessed a love of equity. A colonial congressman, governor of Rhode Island, he had seen government from the inside. An author and a publisher, he was a skilled communicator. But as of the early 1770s, Patriot Stephen Hopkins was slowly becoming paralyzed. The affliction was incurable. Doctors agreed that Stephen's remaining years would be physically draining ones, and his nation, our nation, yet unborn, needed him. So in September of 1774, Rhode Island delegate Stephen Hopkins arrived in Philadelphia, already weary, but facing one of the most monumental challenges in all political history. This initial phase would be known as the First Continental Congress, a forum for the expression of grievances against British colonial policy. Stephen was appointed to two committees, one on trade and manufacture, the other to state the rights of the colonies. Shortly thereafter, he signed the Articles of Association, and since his right arm had been most severely affected by the progressive paralysis, even the execution of his signature was becoming difficult. Having issued a declaration of rights and grievances and agreed on economic sanctions against Great Britain, the First Continental Congress adjourned with the understanding that the delegates would reconvene if their grievances were not redressed. And the British, as you know, responded with gunfire. So the delegates reconvened. Now the Second Continental Congress, with some proposing reconciliation with the British, a debilitated and yet undaunted Stephen Hopkins cried out that war was the only way. And subsequently, a Continental Army was created. George Washington was designated as its leader. And between May of 1775 and July of 1776, Stephen Hopkins served on more than a dozen committees, designed and signed petitions. He debated fellow delegates. He laid the plans for a Continental Navy, of which he would be named Commander-in-Chief. And all of the while, this strange paralysis was leeching his life away, one inch at a time. With each month in our relentless struggle for independence, Stephen's own personal struggle became more torturous. His right arm was wasting fast. He would now have to dictate the words which in years past he had been able to handwrite in the most elegant and exquisite script. Now there was the one document which must bear his signature. So picture Stephen with that document before him, the drums of destiny already audible in the distance as he guides his virtually lifeless right hand with his faltering left hand. The agonizing autograph is one of staggered lines and blotches, but please look carefully, because you will be able to make out his honored name, sealing your nation's Declaration of Independence. Very few are familiar with the private revolution of Patriot Stephen Hopkins. His anguished struggle to outlast his own failing health. If you've heard what he said when he signed our Declaration of Independence, it'll help you to understand. He said, "My hand trembles, but my heart does not." Well, now you know what he meant. Because now you know the rest of the story.